welcome to Church Experience Online. We're so happy you joined us today. As you watch this teaching video, if you have any questions or need help getting connected, please don't hesitate to reach out by phone or email. Also, our website is the best place to go if you'd like to access helpful Grow Step resources, join a serving team, connect in a life group, get your questions answered, or support this movement financially by giving online. At the end of this teaching video, you'll hear one of our Church Experience Worship original songs, and we hope this gives you an opportunity to worship and reflect on what you've learned. Thanks again for joining us at Church Experience Online.
What's going on, Church Experience family? Hey, you know, if there has ever been a year for all of us that we have been tempted to worry, this is it, right? I mean, if ever you've struggled with worry, 2020 is your year. I mean, because everyone has just had so much going on. There's been so much intensity in the world. And so worry is present, especially in the area of our finances. I mean, if there's an area that we're tempted to stress about the most, it tends to be financial pressure. We're in this teaching series we're wrapping up today called Cashing In, Settling Up with Money. And financial pressures are there for everyone. If you have a little, it's worry about, do you have enough to pay the bills? If you have a lot, it's pressure and worry about how to allocate it and how you could lose it, or are you being wise with it? There's just always financial pressure, and that can lead to worry. Yet Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" See, Jesus says, don't worry. Trust in me. You know, we're all trying to become financially independent. We don't want to rely on others. Yet that's the exact opposite of what Jesus is teaching here. He says, listen, you are valuable to your Father. And he knows how to care for the simplest things in creation. And because he does a good job caring for even those simple parts of his creation, are you not much more valuable? The centerpiece of his creation, his beloved children, he knows how to take care of you. So trust in him, rely on him, depend on him, even in your finances. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, eat, and drink. Now, Jesus is not saying throw caution to the wind, be reckless, be unwise and foolish, and never plan or budget. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't worry, trust in me. Yeah, it's kind of ironic that in this country, in our currency, it says, in God we trust. In God we trust. Yet it's ironic because this is the one area of life where we tend to have the greatest struggles with trust. We tend to rely on ourselves. We tend to worry. We tend to stress out about finances. And man, it can be tough because financial worries can really steal your joy. Financial stress can ruin great relationships, especially marriages, all the time, split up because of financial pressures. Financial worry can drive us to make bad money decisions, or drive us into greed, or drive us into workaholism, or drive us into terrible decisions that can wreck our lives. See, financial pressure, financial worries can cause all sorts of tensions and struggles in our soul. And that's why Jesus taught so much about finances. And he does want us to be wise. There are things we can do. In fact, there's two things specifically I want to begin with today. Two things that you can do if you struggle with financial worries. There's two things. One, write this down. Worship, don't worry. Worship, don't worry. You know, we tend to sit around and worry, and it's like, what do I do? I have all this tension inside. How do I release that? And we just tend to sit around and obsess over all the worst-case scenarios and what could go wrong or what we should do or could do. And yet, if we would just not worry and instead worship God, here, this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, God will take care of you. Your Father knows how to care for you. You're so valuable in His sight. So don't worry. He literally says, don't worry. And He brings the attention back to where it should be, on God and His love for you. So worship Him. How do you overcome worry? You worship through it. You worship through it. Collectively we worship. Individually we worship. We give God praise. And then there's something else you can do. You can stop digging the hole that you're in. You can get advice. You can make a plan. You can work your way through the problem that's in front of you. And how I'd word it is work on it. Stop worrying about it. It's simple. Stop worrying about it, but work on it. Work on it. Make a plan. Get wisdom. Seek advice for whatever your money issues are. Expect that unexpected money problems will happen. Some people are surprised when unexpected money problems happen because they weren't expecting them. But once you start to realize that the unexpected is actually expected, that if you can count on something, it's that there's going to be something that is unexpected is going to happen. Once you start to realize that, man, things change. I love that Dave Ramsey said, you know, if your car breaks down and you have planned for that emergency, if you knew the unexpected was going to happen and you had an emergency fund going, when your car breaks down, you only have one problem instead of two. You just have a car problem. You don't have a money problem too. But when we don't plan ahead and we're not wise, we don't work on it. When an emergency happens, the unexpected happens, we have two problems. We have the crisis and then we have a financial pressure in our life. And so there's things you can do to work ahead and plan and prepare. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to jump down to verse 31. And I want to ask you, as we reflect on this today, are you worrying about the financial pressures in your life? Or are you worshiping and are you working on it? Where are you at with those things? Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? And look right here in Matthew 6, 32. You see this? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. How interesting. The pagans, those who dismiss God, those who ignore God, those who are living for themselves and not for Him, they run after the worries of this world. They worry about the things of this life because that's all they have. Think about it. If you don't believe in the afterlife, if you don't believe in a loving God who provides for you, all you have is this life. So it makes sense that you worry, right? Because this is all you got. Once the clock expires in this life, you're done. So you better enjoy this life and live it up because this is all you have. It's like pagans run after the worries of this life, but not so with you. See, your heavenly Father, He's real. He exists. He knows you. He loves you. He knows that you need these things. There's necessities in this life. He knows what you need and He loves to take care of you. You know, as financial pressures increase in our life, as worries increase, you know, whether it's financial stress over bills that need to be paid, or perhaps financial pressure for the complexity of your financial situation and trying to figure out which way is up, there's all sorts of things that can increase our worry, especially in the area of our finances. You know, we're in this teaching series, Cashing In, Settling Up with Money, and I find it interesting that as fears increase, as responsibilities increase, there's so many things that can cause financial worry to creep into our life. And as financial worry increases, I notice that our worship decreases. We get our eyes off God as our provider, and we start looking around at the pressure in our life. But the more that we increase our worship, the worry tends to decrease. But we often run to worry because it's right there in front of us. We often obsess over the financial pressures in our life, and we don't know what to do when we feel that financial pressure. Well, first of all, it's to worship God, but then there's a lot of things that we can do about the financial issues in our life. And this is the good news, is that God allows us to be a part of the solution. There's a lot of things that we can do, and some of the problems come when we put things into the wrong category in our life, or what I would say the wrong can in our life. So first of all, I'd say, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do. So I'm going to call this the I can, because there's a lot of things that I can do. Maybe you have felt you have some financial issues you need to solve in this teaching series. You know, there's some resolution that needs to come in my life, and so you've realized there's some things that I can do about that. Maybe for you, the thing that you see that you can do is you can seek advice. That is something that you can do, by the way, in any area of your life. You can at any point go ask a pastor or a Christian counselor. You can seek some advice from a professional, and you can fix some problems in your life through seeking advice. That's something you can do. So I'm going to put that in the I can. You can cut costs. If you have financial worries, there's some non-necessary expenditures probably in your life that you can cut, and you can say, you know what, I'm not going to purchase those things until I'm in a better spot. And so you can cut costs. That's something you can do. You can pray. For sure you can pray. You don't always know how God is going to answer that prayer, but you can always ask him, and he loves it when his kids come to him and ask him, say, God, I need help, Father. You can pray. You can get on a budget plan. I know the B word is a cuss word for some of you. It's like, just call it a plan. You can get on a plan. You can make a budget plan. You can apply for a job. In fact, if you don't have a job right now, or you don't have a good job or a high enough paying job, you can make your full-time job finding a better job. You can put in 20 applications this week. You can do that. You can apply for a job. You can't control the answer, but you can certainly apply. You can do that. You can. So there's a lot of things that I can do. And I look at this I can bucket, and sometimes I forget that when I tend to worry. And forget that, you know what, God has given me abilities and time and resources and relationships. There's a lot of things I can do. But the problem is that worry comes into my life when I try to fit things in the I can that I can't do. Are you following me here? There's a lot of things that I want to be able to do. Like when my financial situation is just not working or there's problems, something that I'm trying to solve, I think I can do it. I can fix this, and I try to put it in the I can. I can do it. But when it won't fit, when I can't do it, that's when the worry really starts to increase. And so that's why it's so helpful and such a blessing that God has given us another avenue to pursue when we can't do it. And I call this can the God can. Because there's a lot of things that God can do that I can't do. And Jennifer read a book this last year on emotionally healthy people, and she shared something with me that was so powerful. She said that emotionally healthy people, they don't obsess over things that they can't control. There's a lot of things that you can do, and unhealthy people, we've all been there. We've not done the things that we know we should do. But we've talked about there's things we can do. Well, what about the things that we can't do? Healthy people don't obsess over the things that they can't do. Christians that are in that position, they give it to God. And they say, God, there's certain things that you can do that I can't do. Just a few examples, if it's helpful. There's God's timing. You know, I can't control the timing of things. I don't know the number of my days. God is in control of the clock of my life. And so God's timing, I have to trust him for that. Yeah, I'm praying for something, but maybe it's not the right time. And maybe I know the right thing to do, but it's just not the right time. And so I got to trust him with that. Divine appointments. You know, you can do certain things and make connections, but there's some things that only God can do. Connecting you at the right time with the right person, the right place, the right job. God can do certain things that you can't do. Opening doors. God can miraculously open doors that you can't open. And he can shut doors that you can't, no matter what you try to do, you can't open. And how many of us have been over there in the I can trying to open a door that God didn't want to open? And now when you look back on it, you say, you know what, I'm really glad you did. In fact, let me just tell you right now, when I was a young man, I prayed to marry this girl. And I'm telling you, I wanted to be with her. I wrote it down literally in a prayer journal. I'm like, God, help me marry this girl. Could you just answer this prayer? I look back on my life now. I look back on her life. Nothing against her, but I look back on her life. And I look at the woman that God did provide for me. And I thank God that he did not answer that prayer. I was saying, I can do this. God, please, please. And I'm so grateful that he didn't, because God's timing, God's divine appointment, he connected me with Jennifer, the mother of my four kids, my best friend in life. I'm so grateful he didn't answer the prayer that I was praying. Instead, he answered it even better, because he had something better. He opened a door. He opened a door for this young man. Amen. All the single people say amen to that. Come on. And then God is sovereign. That word means he's in control. He's in control. See, I think I'm in control of my life. We all think that we're in control. We struggle with that. And so we tend to go back to the I can't. Can I just be in control? But we're not in control. And so we surrender this to God and we say, God, you're in control. Only you are really in control of my life and protection. God, there's certain things that you put a hedge of protection around my life. You put a wall of protection around my life. You can do that, God. I can't. I love to control my situation. I love to protect my family. I want to do it all myself. And there's certain things that we can do, but in the end, only God can. And so part of overcoming worry in our life, especially in the area of our finances, is to recognize which can this is in my life. And how I put it, if you want to write something down in our notes today, is the question is this an I can, or is this an only God can? And once you know that answer, you know what you need to do. You need to either work on it, or you need to worship and surrender it to God. And we should be worshiping all the time, but you know what your action step is. Instead of sitting around worrying, it's like, okay, I can go do this. God's empowered me. I think I'm waiting on God, but actually he's waiting on me to go and get after it. Or it's something that only God can do. So I don't need to waste my time running, trying to figure it out and try to solve things that I can't solve. I need to go to God and worship and say, God, only you can do this. Well, Jesus goes on after he asks that question in Matthew 6 and verse 33. I love what he says. Powerful statement. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry. Worship. Put God first. See, the order of things is tremendously important. Your priorities are very important. Did you know that the word priorities is a fairly recent word? The word priorities actually really took off in the 20th century. It comes from the word priority, which became popular in the 14th century from the Latin word prior, meaning first, original. And that word prior in the Latin became the word priority, but it wasn't until the 20th century that that word really became pluralized. And people started pluralizing this word, and they would say priorities. These are my priorities. That's a fairly new thing. Before, from the 14th century on, it was priority, one priority. But now that we've changed it to priorities, people have to add words to it, and they say, well, that's my main priority. That's my top priority. That's my first priority. But priority actually means one. There's one priority. It's the first thing. Like that's it. There's not priorities. There's a priority. And here we're being taught by Jesus that there is one central priority. And that's a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our sins on the cross so we can not only be forgiven, but filled with the Holy Spirit of God and follow him as our Father, follow God as our Father. And that is our priority. There's nothing else. And Jesus says it here in Matthew 6. He says, seek first. Seek first, not a priority, the priority of your life, the kingdom of God. The reign of God over all things, the reign of God over your life. That's the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom in your life, and then all these other things. God will help you take care of all these other things. He'll provide. He'll do what only he can do. He'll let you know what you need to do. But seek him first. You were talking about finances. In our family, I've used the financial software Mint for a lot of years now. It's a free financial software. You can track your budget and all that stuff. And I've just used that to keep our family finances in order. But there's one problem I had, and it's kind of goofy if you were to look at our family budget. And that's because, like, when you do the budget, it keeps everything in alphabetical order, which in general is a good thing. But I have one problem with it, because if you look at the top of my budget, you'll see it says auto. And under the category of auto, there's a subcategory of tithes and offerings. And you're like, why is tithes and offerings in the auto category? And the reason why is it was a solution to a problem that I had. I wanted my tithes and offerings to be first on my budget. My parents taught me when I was a kid to always give back to God the first tenth. That's what a tithe is. It means a tenth. Give back to God the first tenth of what he's given to you. That's the principle of first, putting God first. We want his blessing over all of it. It's a way of saying, God, everything I have is yours. You're the owner. I'm just a manager. I want to put you first. It's not using 100% of what God's given me for me. It's giving back the first to him for the expansion of his kingdom and saying, God, I'm giving this back to you, some of what you've given to me. And so I've been taught since I was a young man to put him first. But I couldn't do that on there, so I had to get creative. And so now it says auto, tithes and offerings is my first thing, because I want that to literally, symbolically and literally be first in my budget, the top thing, because he is first. And, you know, a lot of people struggle with managing their money God's way. And it's a got to. But I'll just say this. It's never meant to be a got to. God meant for financial management his way to be a get to. I get to do it God's way. And when I do, God blesses me. And I don't do it to seek his blessing to get something from God. It's the favor of God that comes on a life that is following him and honoring him in every area. when we put things first that are first, when we seek God's kingdom first, what Jesus said, he's like, and all these things will be added to you as well. I'll take care of all the other things when you take care of what you can do. And what you can do is put me first. So here's a question I'll give you. It's first things first in my life. Or first things first in my life. I put it this way in a statement if you want to write it down. First things go first, or they're secondary things. So is God's kingdom first in your life, or is it an additional thing? What's first in your life? So I love to surf, and many of you know that. And every year I go to North Carolina with family, and we visit. It's a family vacation. But I get to surf all week that week, and we're staying right by the beach, and I'll go out and I'll surf. And I have such a great time. But many years, and I've been doing that for about 15 years now at the same spot. But many years when we're there, there's a lot of windstorms, and there's currents with the waves, and we'll go out in the water. We'll leave our towels on the beach, and we'll go out in the water, and we'll be surfing. But I noticed that about 15 minutes into it, 20 minutes into it, the currents have drug us far down the beach, and our towels and our flip-flops are way back many, many yards down the beach. And I had to fight either in the water or get out and literally walk back to get back to where I started. And I can usually see the rooftop of the home that we're staying in out on shore. And so we'll get drugged down, and I'm always fighting to get back home. But that current is strong, and that current some years is pulling me one direction, and other years is pulling me another direction. And I've just learned over time that in this world, I'm always being pulled, the currents of life. And they're different in different seasons, but I'm always being pulled away from what's first. What's the priority? And so I've literally at one point just wrote down the 8 or 9 things. I'm like, here's the biggest currents that I feel in my life. What are the currents in your life that tend to pull you away from what's first? What about financially? What are the currents in your life that pull you off budget, off plan? What are the currents in your life that pull you away from honoring God and putting him first? See, once you know what you're fighting against, it can help you win that war. But Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first his kingdom. Put him first. He's the owner. He's the manager. He's over all things. And when you put him first where he actually is, and you put him as the owner in your life, and you realize that, God, I'm just a manager for you. I'm not the owner. I'm a manager of this life that you've given me. And there's a lot of things I can do, but there's a lot of things I can't do that only you can do. But God, I am your manager. In fact, you want to write that down today. It'll help you. I'm a manager for God. I think that summarizes so much of the heart of this teaching series is that God, it's all yours. I'm yours, and I'm simply a manager for you. I want to honor you with my life, with every area, with my family, my relationships, with my finances, with my time. God, I want to manage well. See, the question is not, are you a manager? You are. You're a manager of what's been entrusted to you. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose what you look like or so many things, the talents that you have. And see, you were given those things, entrusted with them. And the question is not, are you a manager? You are a manager. The real question is, are you a good manager? Are you managing what God has entrusted to you? And the best way that we can do that is put things in order and say, God, you are first in my life in every area, my finances, in every area of my life, every aspect of my life. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Like Jesus said, I'm going to seek him first. And in the end of the day, when it comes to my money, I'm going to trust in him. In God we trust. It's not in man we trust. It's not in our own abilities. It's in God that we trust. It's written on our currency. But when God is going to be pleased is when it's written on our hearts. And I hope that today you will take some time to settle accounts with money, that you'll cash in on the world's way of living with money. And you'll say, enough with that. I'm going to honor God and put him first. Not only in my finances, literally putting him first, but I'm going to put him first in every aspect of how I live and how I think, because I want to seek first the reign of God over my life, the kingdom of God. Because when I do that, then the rest of my life can come into order. Because those who seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things, God will add to you. He'll take care of it. You trust him. Trust in the Lord your God and see him as your provider. See him as the God who guides you where you need to go. But seek him first. Right on? Right on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this amazing teaching that you gave us through your word that Jesus delivered. And Father, I pray that we would live up to that, that we wouldn't worry. That Jesus, we live for your kingdom first and not seek to build our own kingdoms. That Jesus, we would please you in everything that we do, because in the end, God, that's where real peace and joy comes from, through a surrendered life, through putting you first. So God, I pray for that person who's hearing this message right now that's struggling with their financial pressures and they're tending to worry, God, may they increase their worship this week. May they rely on you. May they trust you and surrender to you and put you first. And as they do that, God, please bless them and bring great peace of mind, great joy as they know they're living for you and not themselves, that they're not having to do life by themselves anymore, but they're trusting you with, God, what only you can do. Father, I also pray that you give us great wisdom on what we can do. And as we go out throughout this week, I pray that we be diligent and responsible and tenacious about going after the things that we can do and trusting you with all the things that only you can do. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Church Experience Online. Please don't forget to check out the website if you'd like to get more connected, learn more, get your questions answered, or support this movement financially. You're now going to hear a Church Experience Worship original song, and we hope this gives you an opportunity to worship and reflect on what you learned today.
Drawing us near, invited to your kingdom.